That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky present a power word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint it gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process. You already asked that? Okay.
It works. Grand piano.
If it's Friday and La La Land has won Best Picture, yeah, give it up for La La Land. Wait,
what?
Oh, no.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, God, this is embarrassing. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not a joke. It's not a joke, Ben.
Oh,
Steve
no.
Harvey has won Best Picture.
Oh.
Steve Harvey, come up here.
Steve Harvey again.
How embarrassing.
Could you imagine how horrible it would have been if it was the other way around?
I've heard that
given it
a few times.
To Moonlight instead, you know, had to give it to La La Land.
Yeah, right. Well, there was wasn't the deal with the Oscars last year that it was completely whitewashed? Wasn't that the thing?
Yeah, that was a big thing, yeah.
We started, hey, Viola got one.
Yeah.
Mahershala got one.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. We actually will have a very cinema-centric show today.
Yeah.
I'm Kyle, and I'm with the Benjineer, as always.
Hey, Kyle.
Happy Friday to you all.
Happy Friday to you. I have my electric pen, and I'm ready to go.
I don't know what that means.
That's from the speech last night.
Oh, okay. Do you want to paraphrase this? Okay, now, first of all, this I know you're talking about President Trump's address to Congress, right?
Yes, that was on opposite the UK Vandy game.
Sure. And
so during commercial, I flipped over.
Okay, so what is this electric pen gag? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's an example of how anything is accomplishable in the United States with United States know-how and ability. It was paired with the telegraph and the light bulb.
There was also
the electric pen.
What did he mean to say?
I assume electric pen. I'll have to Google it.
I'm not familiar with an electric pen.
I'm not either.
Does it?
It seems like two words that should not go together.
Would it write more quickly? Now, see, is he a guy that? So did he just invent an invention, more or less? Is that what the joke is now? Is there a hashtag electric pen on Twitter that I could learn more about this?
There's hashtag Lexington Diner.
What's that?
That is on Upper Street.
Was
downtown,
that a segue?
Downtown Lexington, kind of.
Okay, so what about Lexington Diner?
Well, the rebuttal for Trump's speech came from Steve Beshear, who is talking to us live from the Lexington Diner, downtown Lexington. So now it's trending. A nice little diner trend. It's a good place to eat. If you're within the sound of my voice or not within the sound of my voice, go visit Lexington Diner.
What were the highlights of this address? Because I could talk more about the UK Vandy game than I could about a political address.
I think the big news was just that he stuck to the script and stayed on point and gave a halfway decent speech.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But the rebuttal, on the other hand, why they pick Steve Beshear to do it since he's retired, why it was coming from Lexington during a UK basketball game, why it looked like everybody in the Lexington Diner was suffering from...
Was this on Facebook Live or something? Or
no, it was on national TV after...
Really?
Right after, yeah. I watched it later, but...
Well, is Steve Beshear like a fan, like a...
I think they picked him because he was the governor when Obamacare started and implemented it in Kentucky, and it's been largely successful in Kentucky.
Was it just a bash fest, his rebuttal?
No, it was just dull, to be honest with you.
Lovely. Well, let's move on.
I was praying for the hostages at the Lexington Diner, though.
The hostages?
They all did. They were all completely motionless, just staring at the camera, and I just thought, what's happening?
All right, this is
keeping those people from the basketball game.
It's a good plug for the Lexington Diner.
Good place to eat.
Our first guest on the program today is Lucy Jones. She is the... is a co-producer of the Lexington Film League. They have they've titled themselves co-producers. Her fellows over there. We'll be talking to her about promoting film in Lexington, this week's Academy Awards presentation, aforementioned, and her favorite Pauly Shore movie.
Oh, what's your favorite Pauly Shore movie?
Biodome.
Biodome.
Yeah.
What was the one with Brendan Fraser? Encino Man. That's my
favorite. Encino Man? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. The first.
We'll find out what her... She is a... She's not just a fan of film. She's also worked in the industry, so she's bringing her expertise from around the country into Lexington. So we're excited to talk to her in just a few minutes. Then in the 1 o'clock hour, Chuck C., he the Lexington Community Radio bigwig and fellow co-host of Bluegrass Bios, will replace me, as always. And today, I believe he'll be interviewing an Earth, Wind, and Fire cover band named Dirt, Breeze, and Sriracha.
Sriracha? I had Dirt and Breeze going in my head. I was wondering what you were going to do for fire.
These are the jokes, people. Yeah. But first, I tried out a new dining facility yesterday. And are you familiar with Lyle's Barbecue?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So they've opened up a new location off of Clay's Mill. And it was good. I got their, I got a pound of pulled chicken, a pound of pulled pork. Hush puppies were excellent. But that's not... what I noticed when I was in there was what looked like a party. There was a group of young adults, some older people, a few of them wearing these red party hats.
Okay.
And they happened to be sitting next to a banner that said Yelp on it. It was about 6 feet tall.
Okay.
I didn't think the two were connected until I saw a few of these people turning around and had the Yelp on their party hats.
Sure.
So it turns out these critics?
Yeah.
Self-appointed critics?
Yes. Contributors.
Were receiving the entire menu of Lyle's Barbecue to presumably give their... whatever, sure. There to sign off on it as a facility.
Right.
You know, we're talking about a gang of people. There was...
about how many?
15.
15?
I would say, getting the entire menu. And the guy, when I went up there, like,
Yelp.
Is this what I think that it is? And he's like, yeah, they're getting everything for free. He's like, that seems like a pretty good gig.
It does.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and there, I know that there's a South Park about this, but if anybody wants to chime in with their comments or suggestions or insults to me, you can tweet us at Bluegrass Bios. That's complete in, like, this is one of those signs of the entitled times, right? Because the Yelp was like a Rotten Tomatoes thing, right? Like, you... being able to put in your, you know, it's sort of like leaving a little note at the fork in the road saying, hey, there'll be monsters this way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's helping out. It's given the flashers for maybe a less weird reference, given the flashers to a person driving the other way saying, hey, there's a cop going that way. Like, hey, look, the service is bad or you want to leave a compliment. It's good. Right, you're doing it out of the kindness of your... Now, is this a job now? And are you keeping these restaurants hostage for free food so that you get a good opinion? Like, what is happening here where
Or what do you need Yelp to reviewers, do to be one of these guys who gets a free meal?
How I many assume that you reviews? Just post a lot
in
an area. You probably submit an application to be... If you're a Yelp reviewer and you think that I'm being overly harsh... Because here could maybe be the deal, right? Like, I'm broke and this is an opportunity for me to exercise my creative writing skills while also getting a free meal once every 2 months, whatever.
Yeah, well, there aren't that many restaurant reviews for like your local barbecue pit that where you can
in
go
like
in
the newspaper, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, they get nobody the, goes go to the newspaper or cares about a professional and reviewer reviewing anymore. It's one of our many outsourced
stuff like that.
It's one of our many outsourced jobs, right?
Sure, like, sure. If you got you're not going to see a review for a food cart in the Lexington Herald Leader, although maybe you should.
You
That'd
could.
Be fun. That would be good. Maybe they should get in on that.
I guess not outsourced. I mean crowdsourced, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Taking what would have been somebody's actual job and now giving it for somebody to do in their spare time. It just seemed odd to me that these people, based on having an opinion, were rewarded. But there is an element of it that seems like you're holding hostage, because there is a tacit agreement here of, I give you free food, and you give me a good review. Right? Because who is going to now drive home and say, after their free meal, you know, that's probably worth 40 people a pop because Lyle's, while delicious, is on the pricier side. And then type up, well, you know what? I thought that the ice, it wasn't that kind of ice that I like.
The chicken was a little dry.
I just thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, and how do you grade or review the service? Because you're just getting, you know, the red carpet
exactly.
treatment.
Well, this is exactly why food reviewers of old would go in there under an assumed name, and you know, you wouldn't know when they were coming in. They had a banner set up with party hats.
I'm wondering if Lyle's doesn't go to Yelp and apply for some kind of review.
I think that you would
deal.
Have to, because you want to get out in front of the reviews, right?
Yeah.
And there's part of this too.
And the reviews have got to be weighted. The more people, the people who have given the most reviews, their reviews goes to the top and probably holds more weight than just like if I just hopped on there and gave it stars and then that's it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about the process, but I know that if there are, I mean, you see this all the time for restaurants or movie theaters, any kind of customer service based place, that there'll be, you always have that stock, like John Doe, that's obviously from the management. I saw this when I was apartment hunting recently. You know, you'd see
landlord is handsome and muscular.
Right.
Yeah.
There are not bats in the closet.
Bats? What bats?
Yeah, exactly.
Yours anonymous.
All right. So, hey, I am firmly giving my endorsement to Lyle's Barbecue on Clay's Mill. Amen. And I am not being compensated for this in any way, you frauds. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We're running a little bit late here, and I'll explain that at the end of the show, maybe, why that is.
Sure.
Kind of a Seinfeldian story.
Oh,
so
cool.
I wanted to maybe run that past you, Ben. So we're gonna take a second. Ben's gonna play some music, and we'll be right back with Lucy Jones on Bluegrass Bios.
Are you looking for a way to help those less fortunate in our Lexington community? Compassion, appreciation, respect, gratitude. Experience all this and more when you join Serve in downtown Lexington each week for Wednesday Night Serve. We are a community giving back to our community, serving healthy meals to anyone in need every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in Phoenix Park. To learn more about the nonprofit organization Serve, visit the Serve Lex Facebook page or email servelexington@gmail.com. You can also call Serve at 502-565-565. 7043.
Tune in to Urban Conversations
every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. on 93.9 WLXU.
Come sit in the lounge with us. I'm your host, Janice.
And I'm your host, Future. where your voice matters.
Any questions?
Welcome back to Bluegrass Bios. Our first guest today is cinemaphile and co-producer of the Lexington Film League, Lucy Jones. Thank you for coming on with us today, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So is it true, and I read this somewhere on the internet, is it true that every time
then yes, it's true.
You illegally download a movie, Sylvester Stallone loses one word from his vocabulary?
It's a fact. He's down to two words.
So you're more than just you're more than just a film enthusiast. You work in the in the film industry, right?
No, actually, I'm just a film enthusiast. More, I pay money to put movies on. I'm doing it the wrong way. I'm doing it backwards. I do have a past working in the film industry, but I realized pretty quickly that I was not interested in being engaged in production in any way, shape, or form. I'm much more a cheerleader and a film viewer and somebody who likes to share movies with other people.
Well, explain to our audience what you were doing in the film industry.
Oh, sure.
Once upon a time,
I actually started out in marketing. Did marketing in Atlanta for a few years for a number of film studios, kind of all the big guys, which was great because I got to watch movies all the time and I got to share movies with other people, which is my favorite thing. Moved out to Los Angeles after that thinking, well, gosh, I love movies so much, I probably want to be involved in making them, and realized I did not want to watch the sausage being made. That is not a thing that I wanted. It is a dream killer. It is a magic killer. I just like watching them and enjoying them and sharing them with others.
So what happened there? What spoiled the experience for you?
Bruce Dern. No, I'm kidding.
All right, that was a joke.
Usually it's Donald Sutherland.
Right.
It was the odd hours. Was it just on your feet all the time?
No, I mean, it really was just watching movies being made. I don't want to see the process. I just want to enjoy. I'm just a selfish person.
You want to believe that E.T. is flying across the moon without having to see the green screens and all that stuff.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I see.
For anyone out there who might have big dreams of moving out to Hollywood, did you have any cool experiences while you were?
Well, the good news is nobody has to move out to Hollywood anymore. Hollywood's coming here. I mean, I think Hollywood as an industry is sort of no more. It's such a more democratic process now, and Hollywood's wanting to reach into other communities, and now the Kentucky Film Commission's doing amazing work. It looks like Louisville has a great active film commission, Northern Kentucky. There's so much being filmed in Cincinnati right now, and I think that it's going to be slowly coming to Lexington as well.
Okay, so you came back to Kentucky in 2009, correct?
Sure, that sounds... You know way more about me than I do. That sounds about right.
And you saw, what need did you see in Lexington for a film league?
Well, for me, the film league pre-existed my return.
Okay.
Kylie Lane had begun it, I believe, the year prior, and Sarah Wiley and Hannah Legris were already working in it. For me, coming back from Los Angeles, the thing that I loved the most about Los Angeles was being able to go to places like the New Beverly and the American Cinematheque and all the movies that I got to see there and had an opportunity to watch, especially repertory films. So for me, coming back, getting involved in the Lexington Film League was primarily selfishly motivated. I just wanted to be able to watch movies and see things that that weren't available here.
Things that are made here.
Not necessarily things that are made here, but sort of smaller art house stuff. What we're doing right now is a lot more experimental stuff where, you know, I like to show a lot of repertory stuff. The stuff that used to be shown at the Kentucky back in the day all the time, which is how mm-hmm. I became a film fan originally. And now the Summer Classic series is amazing, but there's not as much repertory programming as there used to be. So we're doing a lot more of that at the Farish, and that's my favorite thing to do.
So when we're talking about, like, experimental cinema, like, walk us through that.
Sure. Well, Brian Fry has started an amazing series at 21C. Alex Brooks is part of it as well. And he's showing movies. I don't know if you know Brian. Brian is a gift to Lexington. He came here quite by accident. He had actually been an experimental filmmaker for a number of years. He's actually a Whitney Biennial artist and made this really incredible film called Our Nixon. I don't know if either of you saw it. It's used entirely archival film footage, Super 8 millimeter stuff from the Nixon administration when it became in public domain. Yeah, all those guys were running around the White House with like Super 8 cameras, documenting everything, not realizing what that was going to be used for down the road. So they, when it became public domain, they just edited all of this, all of these Super 8 films together and created this amazing documentary on the Nixon administration, basically. But I guess at some point he was just like, well, you know, I can't necessarily be a filmmaker professionally in art house sort of stuff. The more experimental abstract stuff doesn't necessarily pay the bills. So he became a lawyer, and then he got a gig teaching at UK, and then that's when his career actually blew up, and he sold our Nixon to CNN, and all of a sudden became a big deal. I mean, he was always a big deal, but a big deal.
I was gonna say that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so now he lives in Lexington, and you know, he's gonna be here for good. He's with UK, and so what he's been able to do is really, you know, use his roots and all of the filmmaker connections that he's made over the years and the decades, bringing his friends to town for screenings that we wouldn't necessarily otherwise be able to see.
And that is the Lexington Film League's presentation of at 21C mm-hmm. Museum Hotel.
That's correct. The showcase series.
Okay, so yeah, tell us. And this has been going on since February, right?
Actually, since 2016, I believe it started last summer, maybe fall. The 2017 series started in February.
Okay,
but it's going to be ongoing.
And have you ongoing throughout the year?
Throughout, always. Okay, wow. In perpetuity, as long as they'll let us do it, there will be there. And 21C is an amazing resource for Lexington. I'm sure you've both been there, but what you might not have noticed is that every gallery that you go into can basically become a theater. Every single gallery has like a pop-down screen and a pop-down projector and blackout blinds. So it's a wonderful place to be able to show films.
We're talking to Lucy Jones, co-producer at the Lexington Film League. So what can people expect if they go to the showcase at 21C?
You know, just generally having their minds blown. It's great stuff. I mean, the other advantage of showing films there, Brian has a lot of films on 16 millimeter and 8 millimeter, and that's not happening anywhere else in Lexington.
That's old footage, like with the Our Nixon footage, or he's currently
Some of it's old, some of it's people who are still working on 16 millimeter and 8 millimeter.
Wow. Now, what are the advantages of that? Is it just kind of more art housey?
It's vinyl. It's vinyl.
It is exactly. Yeah. That is it.
Well, film image is softer than video. I think video's catching up very quickly with film, but there's something about the image. It's earthy. It seems natural. It's not abrasive. It doesn't hurt your eyes. So yeah, that's why a lot of people still like to shoot on film and 16 millimeter and super 16 millimeter.
Now, as we record this, it is it's March 1st, and there is a there's going to be a showcase tonight, right?
Yes.
Now,
which is now
heard
the past.
Is actually the day before yesterday.
It is now the past, right? Because this is airing on Friday. But what? Just so that we can get sort of more specific examples, like what. What is tonight? Are you going to it tonight?
If I make it over there in time, I will in fact be there tonight. We'll find out Friday whether I was there now. Is that how it works? I'm not sure.
Sure, but so I don't know. We're talking about when I think abstract film, I'm thinking like, have you ever seen The Ring? You know that movie that you watch before you die?
Yeah.
When we're talking about, there's like non-narrative specific type of stuff in it, right? Like, describe for us one of these movies that you've seen.
I think what is tonight / 2 days ago is actually a filmmaker who was also a professor passed away, and they're showing films in 16 millimeter black and white silent films that were done by his students in homage to their teacher.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. So, Ben, is this sort of in line with your experience in film school, Ben? Like, did you do work with 8 millimeter?
Yeah, I may have been one of the last film school students to work in actual film, and I recommend that to anybody who makes movies, especially getting on the cam and the flatbed editing bay, because that's what the software, the video editing software, is based off of. You know, you ever seen the behind the scenes footage? They got the big reels, and then there's a little viewfinder there, and they've got the razor blade, and they literally cut film and tape it together. Yeah, I did a lot of that. And I know you mentioned you were working in Atlanta, or you worked in Atlanta, and Georgia has just completely exploded. I think it was with their tax incentives.
And, indeed.
Taking after, maybe Albuquerque started that with Breaking Bad, or at least brought it to the forefront. And now Georgia has, what, The Walking Dead and Stranger Things.
Right.
And Stand Against Evil, just off the top of my head. And we're getting that soon, is my understanding.
We are. It's in place now. Kentucky has some of the most competitive tax incentives in the country at this point.
And that's a big threat to the established Hollywood, right? Is that California taxes make it prohibitive to do a lot of work out there.
Indeed.
Okay.
We
so
need to benefit.
You're a film studies graduate. Do you still get to use this medium to exercise your own creative spirit?
Well, what do you mean? Like programming?
Do you ever shoot films? Yeah. Oh. Do you ever shoot film?
No.
Let me ask you. So you're an appreciator then, mm-hmm. as many of us are. And we're trying to, Lucy Jones, she's a co-producer of the Lexington Film League. We were talking about the Academy Awards a little bit before you came in, joking about Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway's gaffe, but...
Not their fault. It wasn't their fault.
It was a little bit Warren Beatty's fault.
Well, he did kind of throw Faye Dunaway under the bus by flashing the card in front of her. No, he got the wrong envelope. That's what started. And he's old, man. They're both old.
Pretty hilarious.
They're both celebrating the 50th anniversary of something they did. I think that means they're old.
But it is kind of interesting that that's just sort of the old guard response, is that you just fake it. I mean, they could have said, hey, guys, sorry, like, we got to be completely candid. We have the wrong card here. But instead they were like,
I saw La La Land. Let's say that.
Yeah, isn't that how people say Marissa Tomei won
Yeah,
Oscar,
they say Jack.
Right?
Jack
well, now we know that that's Jack not, Collins, that yeah. there are, in fact, safeguards in place. So that actually...
What were your impressions of the slate of films that were nominated or recognized this year? Give us a rundown.
I got to be honest, this was not a year that I was super excited about. The one film that I thought was incredible was not nominated or even acknowledged at all. And the performance that I thought was the best performance of the year wasn't acknowledged at all. And that was Rebecca Hall and Christine. I don't know if either of you are familiar with that film. It didn't play here. I think the closest it came was the Esquire Theater in Cincinnati. But it's the Christine Chubbuck story. I don't know if either of you are familiar with that story. I actually tell people, if they're not familiar with this story, just to go and watch the movie, because I did not know going in what it was about. And it's stunning. It's, you know how sometimes you watch a movie and you're like, this is a classic. I'm watching a film classic right now. Watching that film, I was just like, this is a movie that will be taught in gender studies classes and feminist film theory classes for years.
Rebecca Hall, the Brit, known for a role in The Town. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I know her from. Fairly journeyman actress, right? But this is a breakout.
Incredible. Incredible performance.
Now, is this the type of movie that could be shown at 21C? Because this seems like it's right up your alley. Like, it's something that doesn't quite get to play in Lexington. Maybe a little too underground, maybe for Netflix even. So
yeah, well, it's actually a pretty straightforward, traditional narrative. For whatever reason, it just didn't get the acclaim that I feel like it deserved. So it might be a little too mainstream for 21C. It might be a Farish Theater, or Kentucky Theater.
Oh, well, there you go.
What films do you tend to seek out at this point in your life? Is it the smaller, sort of underappreciated, or do you gravitate toward a certain director or cast or genre? Probably a mixture of all of those.
Yeah, I mean, my tastes are pretty simple. I just like a good movie. I like a story well told, especially something that's smart and interesting and hopefully done in a way that it hasn't been done before.
What's something else recently you've liked that we can just bat around?
Oh gosh, it really is hard for me this year. I'm trying to think of other films. I loved Moonlight. I'm very grateful that it won. I mean, I thought that of all the moments that were like these sort of like visual metaphors, the handing off, the literal handing off of the statue from like the old guard traditional like Hollywood musical to like the newer, more, you know, provocative, more personal storytelling. I was very relieved when I felt like the victor was the victor.
Let's see. Well, let me ask you a question. You were talking about the Kentucky Theater mm-hmm. earlier. Why is that a place that you love to watch a movie versus some place that will bring you a burger and fries and a large Coke?
I'm sure Fred Mills would, in fact, bring you a burger and fries and a large Coke if you asked him to. He's just that kind of guy. But I mean, the Kentucky, it has everything. I mean, it's the heart of cinema in Lexington. I mean, I know that there's so many people of my age who grew up on it. I mean, who grew to love films because of those great old calendars that you could put on your fridge where you could see a month out everything that was going to be playing.
You had to get the Kentucky calendar.
Of course, yeah. And you looked forward to it.
Sure.
And every, you know, when it came out, you're excited to find out what was going to be playing. And it was such a great mix of art house and repertory.
And I remember when they had their fire and they were closed for how many years was it? Was it about four or five?
I know that they reopened in 92. I feel like it was...
And Debbie Reynolds came. For a movie she was not in to help us reopen it. And I was so happy they were able to reopen it. Kyle, if you're ever in the Kentucky and you see people's names on the backs of chairs or on in between the chairs, that's somebody who gave money, who bought a seat at Kentucky to help them rebuild it. Yeah, it was like a restaurant nearby, so they fired somebody. He didn't like it, and he torched the place, and he burned the theater.
I didn't know that part of the story.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I remember that quite well. Now, we wanted to talk a little bit to Kyle about the beginning and end of major film production in Lexington.
Yes,
so
indeed.
You said it was 1979, right?
1979, Lee Majors Steel.
Lee Majors Steel. Okay, so there's going to be a screening of this this famous movie at the, is it the Farish Theater?
The Farish Theater, which
March
is
16th.
It's the theater in the downtown public library.
So what is this? What is Steel and why should I know about it?
Well, to give you a little background on how and why we're showing the film, Film Slang was our annual film festival that was an offshoot of Boom Slang, the WRFL music festival. We did it as a standalone film festival for a number of years after the demise of Boom Slang, and now we're doing monthly screenings instead of an annual festival so that we can spread it out throughout the year, all of which focus on either films that were made in Kentucky or made by Kentucky filmmakers. So Steel was the go-to film. It was filmed entirely in Lexington because the Kincaid office tower was being built, and they were looking for a office tower that was actually in the midst of construction.
See where this is going yet, Kyle?
Yeah.
Let me guess, he's made of steel. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the reason they
picked an office tower that was being built was they had a stunt planned where somebody jumps off the office tower.
I see.
And the stunt person jumped off the office tower and didn't make it.
Oh!
Yeah, the bag collapsed under him.
Did not see that coming, Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then...
Yeah. So there's like an entire generation of kids where that's like one of their first memories. I mean, I know so many people are like, oh yeah, I was there and we saw him fall and there was this moment and, you know, he went into the bag and everybody was excited and everyone started cheering and then the bag didn't pop back up. And
then all the
parents were like, okay, Johnny, let's head on home.
So wait a second.
All these parents brought
Hundreds of people came out to watch this.
Yes.
Watch a movie being made, and they instead watched a inadvertent death.
Yes.
Wow, that is terrifying.
The stuntman was actually one of Lee Majors' best friends, and he had brought him onto the job because in addition to being the stuntman on the film, they'd planned the stunt that was supposed to be like a world record. So this was a big deal.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so is the movie good?
No, the movie's terrible, but in a delightful way, in an amazing way. I mean, it's actually a great movie. It's kind of like I had only seen bits and parts of it. I had not seen the entire thing until recently.
How would we describe it? Maybe like a Burt Reynolds-ish 70s kind of, you know, that kind of late night cable. If you have a few drinks in you, it's the best thing ever late at night.
Yes, it's like if Mystery Science Theater needed a film from the 70s, this was the film they would choose. But it is, it does, I mean, it rests on its own merits as well. It's great. It's about this retired construction foreman who had a bad incident, so he decided to become a truck driver instead, and he has to get pulled out of retirement because they have to erect a certain number of stories in this office tower within a certain number of days. So he goes about recruiting all of the best construction guys he knows, so there's sort of this like Magnificent Seven. There's like a Magnificent Seven inspired sort of like journey to like find people and pull them off the jobs they're on. One of whom is Terry Kaiser from Weekend at Bernie's. You may remember him as Bernie.
Yeah.
He plays this sort of tight pants to Lothario. It's incredible.
So much like a Magnificent Seven or Unforgiven or an Ocean's movie, Lee Majors has to go around and find this ragtag band of construction workers.
That is correct.
Yes.
I told you. That is how that kind of work.
Because there's, exactly, you pulled me back in. Because there's a damsel in distress and she needs their help.
That sounds fantastic. So Lee Majors, is he a Kentuckian?
He has a Kentucky history. I don't think he was born here, but I do know that he played football and went to EKU. He was actually discovered, and he acted at the Pioneer Playhouse. He was actually discovered by Rock Hudson. I don't know. Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah, I am familiar with that story. I don't know how deep we can go into that. Right. So much of it is rumor and innuendo.
Sure, I will say this.
Rock Hudson used to hang out in Lexington.
And I will say this. There's a really incredible photo that was in the maybe Danville paper that's a young Lee Majors and Rock Hudson and Rock Hudson standing there, and the article is all about oh my gosh, Rock Hudson is taking Lee under his wing out of the goodness of his heart and taking him to California with him. What an amazing man to do this. And so your jaw is on the floor right now for people listening who can't see what's going on. But anyway,
there's a whole history here in Lexington you don't know about here, Kyle. Mostly because we can't talk about weeds on the air.
Okay, so now peeking behind production here, as Ben mentioned off air, we're supposed to have Lee Majors on this program within a month or so. If you have one question that you want us to ask Lee Majors, please. I've got my pen ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Kyle has his electric pen.
I don't know if I can do this off the cuff. No, I can't. I guess I would...
$6 million
Please ask him. Actually, I would be very curious. I don't know how familiar you are with the Pioneer Playhouse in Danville, but that's where he got his start. That's where John Travolta got his start. That's where Jim Varney got his start. It's this really storied, interesting place. Eben Henson ran it. He's actually the guy who started the Kentucky Film Commission. And it is... his son Robbie made a documentary about it, I think called Summer Stock, which is fascinating, must-see viewing if you want to see a Kentucky-based film. So I would really love to hear about his memories of the Pioneer Playhouse.
All right. Wonderful. We'll be done. We want to thank you very much for coming in here, Lucy. Lucy Jones, co-producer of the Lexington Film League. I have one more important question to ask you before we get you out of here. And Ben and I were discussing this before you came on. Pauly Shore movies. Yes. What's your favorite?
Biodome.
I lost.
2-1.
I lost. I said Encino Man, which...
That would have been my second.
Oh, well, there you go. I feel better.
They are classics. There you go.
Well, what's coming up at the Lexington Film League? What do you guys have coming up soon in the next little bit?
Well, we've got our screening of Steel on March 16th. Ongoing, you can go to the 21C website to check to see what the showcase films will be. And then Harry Dean Stanton Fest. We don't have dates for it yet, but I'm hoping and thinking and crossing fingers that it's going to be May 19th through the 21st, because the 21st is when Twin Peaks premieres. So we're hoping we can close out the festival
and
with the premiere.
He's going to be in that, at least for a second or two.
He will be in the premiere.
Fun.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
More information, go to lexingtonfilmleague.org. Thanks again for coming in, Lucy.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
All right, this is Bluegrass Bios. We'll be right back to wrap up the first hour. It's Kyle and Ben. Keep listening.
Dig smart. Stay safe. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This public service will show you exactly where it's safe to dig. Call between 2 and 10 business days before work begins. Visit ColumbiaGasKY.com for more information.
Do you have a smoke alarm that is more than 10 years old in your house or business? The Lexington Fire Department offers a free smoke alarm and install program that is free to all citizens. Firefighters will come to your home or business and install a brand new smoke alarm free of charge. All you have to do is call 859-231-5662. Again, if you need a smoke alarm in your house or business, call the Lexington Fire Department, 859-231-5662.
Hello, this is Sarah Wiley Van Meter from the LCR Board of Directors, and you're listening to WLXU 93.9 LPFM, Lexington Community Radio.
All right, we are back on Bluegrass Bios to wrap up the noon hour. I'm here with Benjaneer Wolf.
Hey, Kyle.
I'm Kyle. We just had on Lucy Jones, co-producer of the Lexington Film League. So you were asking her as she was leaving if you could get involved in volunteering for her. What are you trying to do if you had your druthers, Ben?
Oh, I would probably want to start my own screening festival of my own. Maybe, too bad Harry Dean Stanton Fest is taken because he's a Kentuckian and one of, who doesn't like Harry Dean Stanton? Do you dislike Harry Dean Stanton, Kyle?
I know Harry Dean Stanton.
Do you know anybody who hates Harry Dean Stanton?
By name, what is Harry Dean Stanton in?
Repo Man might be his biggest movie. He shows up and just, tons of stuff. He's been in David Lynch stuff.
Well, they have
Paris, Texas.
The Film League, they do a Harry Dean Stanton festival.
Yeah, every year.
Because he is such a bluegrass luminary.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Right.
Fantastic. So you want your own?
I would like my own
Ben
Fest.
Wolf Fest?
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to think about what I would like to show. I have tons of movies at home. Yeah, maybe I'll just bring in my movie collection and I'll just ask people what they want to watch and I'll just throw that on.
Yeah, we should do like a Mystery Science Theater for one of your movies. Just get a few people together and...
Yeah, sure. That'd
really
be fun.
Really take it all in.
And while we were taking a break there, I did look up the electric pen.
Yeah, what's that all about?
And the electric pen is, it hooks up to your pen. You've got a pen.
I do.
You've got a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
You're writing. Across from you, where I am to you and where you are to me, there will be an electronic device that emulates my handwriting and the movements of my handwriting. So it'll duplicate the document that I'm writing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so a Thomas Edison thing.
What would be the benefit of that?
Well, you'd have two.
I think that's... So you want to hear my weird Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really
What's your
quick?
Weird
All
Seinfeld?
All right, so I work in retail, right? And and this is one of my few responsibilities is coming in here. And you know how when you're... It is not until you're trying to get someplace that all the obstacles prevent themselves, right? Like... If you're late to work, that's when there's going to be an accident on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You know, when you're starving, that's when there's a 30-minute wait for a table, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
So my responsibility is to come here, and while I work in the back, I have to stick around to make sure that any latecomers aren't going to be getting. The feed that I load up. I have a very blue collar position right now.
Cool.
So we're waiting to get out of there at five, and an older gentleman comes in. He's got sort of a black, I want to even call it like Crocodile Dundee type hat with fingerless gloves, and he's a very gentle type of man, but he's. He's just doing everything that if you were trying to come up with a sketch to delay that you might have an actor do. He's choosing between these two, they're called mounting blocks. Basically, if you have like bad hips or you're just older, to be able to get on top of a horse.
Right? Okay.
It's a horse business, if I didn't mention that, that you would come at, and is looking at it, has us bring a blue one from the back. So we have a black one out there and is unable to without a story about how he's going to paint it and why cannot decide between these two. And
they're otherwise exactly alike?
Otherwise exactly alike.
Okay.
And it's just, it was humorous, like trying to get out of there. I got to get over here. It's rush hour traffic, and there's an old man, and he's ready to pay, and of course, out comes what? A checkbook.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, as he's writing the check, it's, I have nerve damage in my hands. I can't write. I'm going to need somebody to help me writing this. It's just like, how Seinfeldian can life really be, or like Larry David. Right?
What do you think? He'd be the kind of guy who'd jump all over the debit card deal?
He was a very nice man, and I'm a terrible person when it comes to, like, you know, the other girls that work in there. They're trying to get this guy out the door, right? It's it's, you know, very terse answers. Yeah, uh-huh. I'm going, how is it that you bought a house with a red roof when you were so adamant against the color red? All right, so that does it for me on this Friday. Stay tuned for Ben and Chuck. See you next week, Lexington.